And hello, everybody. You were just listening to Trump be auto-tuned to interesting music in the background. It's pretty hilarious, actually.
Dude, I was jamming to it today.
I was
I'm not gonna
jamming, yeah.
lie.
I kind of want to make the hardcore band meme of just like hardcore kids dancing to it. But
Oh
that's all.
yeah, I like the goth clip, the
The
goth
goth,
dance.
yes, the goth dancing is amazing. But
Perfect.
that's the only funny thing that Trump has, well, he didn't do it, but the only thing involving Trump, because today he told North Carolina voters they should vote twice, once by mail, once by person.
Because voter fraud's not real. Or, sorry, it
You
is a
could.
real thing, but only the Democrats do it. Sorry, that's
But
the
only
point.
the Democrats do it. And his justification was that in an interview with Wilmington, with a TV station in Wilmington, North Carolina, so let them send it in and let them go vote. And if the system is as good as they say, then obviously they won't be able to vote in person. So basically, he is challenging the mail and encouraging people to vote by at their home in a mail-in absentee ballot, and then to go in person. And he's using the justification that, well, if our voting system is so good, then it shouldn't be an issue. But
If
at
it
the
was, oh, I can't. No, go for it.
But at the end of the day, he's encouraging illegal behavior.
Yeah, it's fucking. Now he's being open about it, at least, you know. Instead of it's fucking impossible to keep track of all the narratives with this voter suppression and voter fraud shit that it changes on a weekly basis. But it's funny that he told like North Carolina specifically to do this, because that's a state that the Republicans really want to hold on to. There's been a lot of shady shit with the right tampering with like voter ID laws and gerrymandering. Like, they just really want to keep North Carolina.
Yeah, they do. And let's see what the latest polls are with North Carolina. This is North Carolina. I'm going to read a couple of polls. Fox News has Biden up by 4%. East Carolina University, which is another poll taker in North Carolina, has Trump up by 2%. And CNBC has Biden up by 1%. So it's looking pretty neck and neck, and I don't really trust polls that much, especially after 2016. I don't think anybody should. But that is a critical state for Trump to win. That in Florida.
Yeah, and Georgia
In
too.
Georgia.
Georgia's a pretty big one as well.
Because it's looking like he may not be able to hold on to the Rust Belt, the Midwestern states that he won before.
Yeah, it's again with the polling, it's pretty difficult to tell. Of course you gotta average in all the different polls because they take different demographics and all this shit. But yeah, I mean, it really is kind of a neck and neck sort of race, but there's so much like fuzziness that there's really no telling what the fuck's gonna happen until November, until the votes are counted. We can't get our hopes up with the polls right now.
Here's an interesting thing about the polls that I just read, specifically the Fox News poll, is that if you include a third party on there, and that would be the Libertarian Party, they don't even have Howie Hawkins and the Green Party polling anywhere in North Carolina. But the results go from Biden is only leading by 1% if you add third party people in.
Interesting. Yeah. I th think you might know better, but don't independent voters tend to vote more conservative? more often?
Yeah, they do. Usually when you say independent voters, like, they are independent, most of the time the justification I hear is that I'm socially liberal, but I'm fiscally conservative. That, like, when somebody says that to me, I'm usually like, yeah, you're an independent voter. You are the so-called swing voter, the fabled swing voter that I hear so much about. But yes, they typically do, I feel, lean more conservative than they do liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so it makes sense for them to be like Joe Jorgensen having 1.5% of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Well, that's a thing North Carolina's doing. That's interesting.
Well, maybe
nothing else for that.
Yeah, maybe Joe Biden should, you know, go out and get their votes.
You would think
he would be going out and getting the votes.
Thinking or, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Or the like liberals on Twitter who, you know, say, well, Bernie lost because not enough people voted for him, and, you know, just constantly shit on, you know, progressive movements, leftist movements, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Maybe they should be phone banking North Carolina right now.
Yeah. But they probably should, but they didn't do any of that, like...
They didn't do any of that.
DNC primaries.
Yeah, Biden still won.
And he still wins. So, yeah, they're just... They think they've got this in the bag, but...
They do. And I don't want to veer too far off topic on this because we got other stuff to talk about. But that's the thing, is I'm seeing a lot of people, you know, say that treat this like they have it in the bag. There's no way that Trump can win. I see that all the time. And, you know, there's some people that see, they're just like, we all got to go out and vote. But there's a good chunk that just think that Biden is going to coast a victory. And Michael Moore, I don't know if you saw this, but Michael Moore posted on Twitter that he showed a poll where Trump was pulling ahead of Biden. And he said, this is the red light. This is like the red light. You need to act now. And he was one of the few people that called Trump could win in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, and this is what kills me about everything, instead of, you know, the Democrats, the vote blue, no matter who, people, the resist people, instead of being like, oh shit, maybe we should listen to this guy who called Trump's victory in 2016, instead they just fucking shit on him, and they're just like, Michael Moore doesn't know anything, Michael Moore, da, da, da. Michael Moore hates Democrats, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, no, he's trying to actually help you this time. I don't know why, but he's trying to help you this time.
Yeah, but it, you know, kind of hurts their ego a little bit too much.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they can't process the possibility that people don't like their candidate,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to
like singular handpicked candidate from like the divine hand or some shit. Yeah, like, you know, yeah, they can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't. I guess we'll. With some other stuff, because there's going to be plenty of election shit to talk about in a couple weeks. We might be spending more time on that than like anything else, really. We'll see. If you haven't noticed, I got a new microphone finally after like a month of waiting, so hopefully this sounds better. I'll take a listen later and see how it turns out, but I am excited for this. So really quickly covering some COVID, stuff before we get into the big topics. We're up to 6.1 million cases now and 185,000 deaths. And the big thing that I saw this week is that the CDC released some new report of statistics about COVID deaths. And one of the numbers that conservatives latched onto was the 6% figure, and basically it said that out of all the deaths, COVID-related deaths, only 6% of them, like, only had COVID listed as the cause of death, meaning the other 94% there were comorbidities, there were other factors like obesity, mm-hmm. diabetes, heart issue, like whatever, you know. So conservatives took this as to mean that, oh, so COVID only has only killed 6% of the entire death rate that have been has been reported. It's like, you don't know how numbers work, do you? You don't know how basic statistics work, but you're gonna still
and they don't
for your own little talking point.
Yeah, and they don't remember how shit, like when this first happened, the big thing that everybody said that, hey, if you have diabetes, if you are immunocompromised, stay the fuck in because COVID exacerbates those issues and that's what kills you. And did they just forget about that? Did they just fucking forget about that when this came out, when these numbers came out? They're just like, COVID's not really killing people. It's all the other ailments that they have. No, we've said that from the get-go, that people that are compromised with like other ailments are susceptible to COVID, and COVID is what kills them. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think they have the goldfish memory. Like, they actually forgot that this statistic actually proves one of their points they were trying to make. So, like, oh, it only hits the vulnerable. So, you know, the majority of us don't need to worry about it. We can just develop a herd immunity. But, like, you know, forget grandma and grandpa. You know, for the first, like, couple months. And then a couple months later, they started caring about grandma and grandpa. For whatever reason, probably after the media made a big deal out of nursing home deaths, that's when the conservatives really started to give a shit about the vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
But before then, they didn't care.
Yeah. And even then, that was a fleeting thought of their compassion, because it was immediately just like, it's a way of life. We've talked about COVID for months now. And that's the thing, is that, like, there has been that. I think that was Burr that said that, and he's like, he didn't care if bodies were piling on the side of the road. We got to keep going, aka we got to keep making money.
Yep. And we can't shut down the economy just because of a second wave. So that's kind of all I had with COVID. We'll see what happens with the vaccine. There's been some news, but I don't know. There's nothing really like huge, and I didn't really want to focus too much on it. So going into the rest of it, we're going to kind of talk about some stuff with related to protests. And of course, Kyle Rittenhouse, which we kind of reported on before. And there's been a lot of updates with that. But first, I wanted to like really quickly touch on this new news show that's being launched. I'm kind of curious about it, but I don't really have cable TV, and I don't know if there's a way to like watch it without it. So, but they post all articles, so I'll check it out. But their whole stick is they're supposed to be the super unbiased center stance, and their slogan is balance, not bias. And this new is basically WGN America, which is owned by Nexstar Media, and it owns about 7% of cable networks. It's mostly focused in the Midwest and the Northeast and some of the South. And they just launched on September 1st a 3 hours news network program called News Nation. So it's not a 24-hour news thing, which might help with like the quality of whatever. So, I don't have high hopes for it. This is more just like a curiosity for me. They released like a 7-minute video kind of showing highlights of their opening episode, and I just wanted to quickly go over some of the kind of stories they're covering and like the kind of how they're presenting them. And overall, I get the feeling it's like it is kind of center-ish, but like a little bit right-leaning. But we'll see. So some of the top news stories: Trump visited Kenosha during after the riots and shit, and talked about Biden's response. There's another one on school cyber attacks, another one on Portland protests, which the intro to that one said, "More unrest in Portland. What's helping to control the crowds there after 95 straight days of demonstrations?" There was a story on violence against police, which opened up with violence against police in America. We look at the numbers of officers shot in the line of duty and how that number stacks up to this time last year. And some, I don't know, happy-ish story about a business surviving the Hurricane Laura. So already it's kind of just like obviously kind of pro-establishment, typical like standard stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, like they're not going to stray from it or anything. They're, you know, going to be pro-police. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is more of a curiosity. So I guess if you've got access to WGN for some reason, then check it out.
Maybe. I mean, I'm going to check it out just because I want to see like how it is comparatively to the three big cable news networks.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about too. And that was kind of their big thing, is it, this was formed in response to the big three like becoming super, even more partisan than they already were. So, you know, this is like the market that they think is going to work. So they're going to appeal to the, whatever, the moderate, the mythical moderate voter, independent.
Yeah, the voter. Mythical, the mythical swing voter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's a little bit interesting to me. But yeah, so I guess moving on to general protest news. I don't know if you saw this story about, well, I mean, I know you saw that there was a shooting in Portland where MAGA supporter who was wearing a Patriot Prayer hat, which is a fascist group, mind you, but no one really wants to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically about the suspect who shot this guy. His name is Michael Forrest Raynowell. I'm sorry, I know I butchered that. And this guy, you know, he's the suspect. There is still under investigation, hasn't been proven yet. But this guy seems really unhinged.
Yeah.
His Instagram account has a couple of long rants about, you know, revolution and protests and whatever, and he claims he's 100% Antifa, which is an interesting claim. And he's been kind of estranged from most of his family. And it was, now this is the interesting part to me of how this even came about. Where he became the suspect, his sister, basically called the cops and told him about this, but according to the source, his sister was first alerted after a threatening call that woke her up at 8 a.m. on Sunday, warning that, quote, our whole family was in danger unless we turn him over. So this threat is what prompted his sister to, you know, rat him out to the police. And so the story kind of goes on, you know, describing him. Essentially, this guy is, again, he's unhinged. He's been estranged from his sister and his father. His father stole from them and shit.
Yeah, he stole medication, from what I understand. He's been estranged from him for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Michael, he brought his daughter to one of the BLM protests like the night before he supposedly shot the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, I should say allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
And his daughter, it looked like to be like a teenager. She was carrying like a baseball bat. He was also arrested for speed racing his 17-year-old son. And his daughter was in the car at the time. But he was wanted because he didn't show up for the court case, for the court hearing. So this guy, you know, general, like a little bit unhinged in general, but the threatening thing is what really got to me.
Yeah. Who alerted the sister?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the large unknown that I haven't been able to find yet.
Yeah. And we probably will never find out because our news cycles move so fast that we will forget about this like we will only hear about what he did and not the circumstances of what led off the tips that did it. And I've been looking for videos of it, and that's been the thing that's been weird to me is like everybody's like, oh, how can you be like Kyle Rittenhouse did this? Well, I saw videos of Kyle Rittenhouse shooting people. I've seen videos, like blurry videos, where I haven't been able to see this dude's face shooting anybody. So that's why I stick to allegedly myself until I see more footage that makes me go, okay, it was that dude. But from what I'm understanding is that he is not, like, he's 100% Antifa, rants about revolution. That's all well and good, but that's a little suspect to me of him constantly posting it. And I'm not saying he's an op or something, controlled opposition. He could very well much believe these things. But I don't know how deep he is into the thought, if he was just somebody that's just like, I want to cause some chaos, and he didn't like Trump people for whatever reason, and he shot one. I want to know more circumstances of what happened. Like, I've seen that he attacked him in cold blood on, you know, MAGA Twitter. I've seen that he defended himself and left his Twitter, and I don't know. Like, and that's the difference between this and Kyle Rittenhouse to me, is I saw Kyle Rittenhouse do that. Multiple videos of Kyle Rittenhouse shooting people.
Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing with Floyd. Like, there was just undisputable footage from multiple angles that showed what happened. Mm-hmm. And the best thing I've seen with Michael is like a video taken from like across the street. It was really hard to see anything. The audio was distorted. It wasn't distorted. It was just hard to hear exactly what the people were saying. And that's kind of what everyone's going off of. But like, that's not really enough to definitively say that, like, this is the guy who shot the Patriot Pair dude, reporter. So it's like, yeah, we just need more.
Yeah, we need more.
Yeah, we just need more. But we may not get more.
I don't think we will.
Yeah, it's... And already the, like, as expected, you know, there's, like, very, quote-unquote, unbiased reporting on the story. The thing that really irked me about it was the New York Times released an article about the whole thing. And in it, they described Patriot Prayer as, quote, a local group that promotes Christianity and smaller government.
Yeah.
Let's ignore the fascism. Let's ignore them hanging out with Proud Boys who openly agitate protests to try to pick fight and beat the shit out of, Antifa, but also just BLM protesters in general.
Yeah. Yeah. They purposely are antagonizing.
And they came in on buses with like hammers ready to fucking beat the shit out of people.
Yeah. Shooting shooting pepper balls at people, shooting mace, running red lights, like while people are crossing the road, just overall douchery. And that's the thing that's just like pisses me off about it is like, you can get mad about what's happening with the buildings burning and stuff like that. And then, but like, how can you turn a blind eye to people openly disobeying the law and trying to run over protesters and antagonizing them by shooting them with paintballs? Like, how do you think that was going to end?
Right.
It was like when Kyle Rittenhouse did his, killed those people, they got emboldened thinking that they could just, you know, waltz in and do whatever they want and just antagonize, poke the bear of people that are already fucking pissed off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I don't get it. It's the cognitive dissonance, like, is just insane. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens with this story. Unless you have any other thoughts on it, I really don't. I just, Yeah. The world's so fucking depressing. I hate that we'd like cover bad news all the time.
Yeah, well, all we do is cover bad news. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is right now. And it's just like, it keeps on going from dark to darker. First, you know, corporate hack Democrat wins the primary and saying nothing will fundamentally change. Then we have a fucking pandemic on top of that that's exacerbated because people won't wear masks. And like, we're the only country that's still going through this shit outside of Brazil and other, you know, third world countries that we would, people that we would call third world countries or failed states. We're in the same boat as them.
Yeah.
While Europe is starting to run along and get back to business. And that's what's just fucking, killing me. And then we have civil unrest, and you know, rightfully so, people need to protest the horrible abuses of our police. And we haven't, this is what's scary, is we haven't reached the peak of the economic crisis.
Mm-hmm. This is just setting the stage for what's to come.
Because people are about to be kicked out of their houses, and people don't have jobs. People are starving. So many families are food insecure right now. And it's bad. On top of that, we have Republicans being Republicans of Support the Peaceful Protest Act. Representative Jim Banks from Indiana. His idea would cut any COVID benefits, including unemployment aid, to protesters convicted of any crime during a protest, motivated by protesters yelling at Republicans after the RNC. And that's not even to mention what's going on in Tennessee with their governor saying that if you're arrested at a protest, you lose your privilege to vote.
That's right. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while. It just keeps on falling through the cracks with all the other crazy shit that's happening. So not only do protesters have to worry about, you know, being accused of a crime like in LA where they said that carrying a shield was a weapon. So they made them drop all their shields and then swarm them in a tunnel. And not only do you have to worry about being accused of a crime, losing your COVID benefits and losing your chance to vote, you also have to worry about spies in the protest movement. I saw this on Twitter of a undercover, like a somebody that was undercover working as a medic in Wisconsin, and he has been arrested multiple times. I've even heard inappropriate child stuff. I'm not sure if probably pedophilia is what I heard, but I haven't got any confirmation on that. And basically, he was a medic, but he wasn't attending to anybody. Instead, he was streaming people's faces and tattoos on his Facebook and basically outing people.
Mm-hmm.
He was confronted. He was chastised and tossed out. But the fact is cops are hiring CIs now to infiltrate the movement, which I saw this coming personally. I was like, it's only a matter of time before they put CIs in it just to try to discredit it.
Oh, for sure. They even started doing, well, there was suspect of someone from an agency doing that in the first couple days of the George Floyd protests when burning down. There was an AutoZone that someone, big gas mask, dressed in black.
Last I heard, that was a white supremacist.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, last I heard, that was a white supremacist.
Okay, so it wasn't, maybe it wasn't directly like police, just like
directly, but the Boogaloo movements in this trying to kickstart the Civil War. CIs are in this. Undercover police officers are in this. There's just so much going on, disinformation and just like sowing seeds of distrust in everything that's happening. Because, yeah, you know, when that AutoZone windows cracked, that's when it really kicked off and it got out of hand.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. There's, it figures they would be the first ones to act on it before yeah. any kind of authority, you know.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it was just a kind of a matter of time before we're, and this is just like one case that we're kind of learning about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There will be more.
There will be more. Let's do an update on Kyle Rittenhouse. So Kyle Rittenhouse, his extradition was delayed until the 25th. Kyle, from what the original story I read was, Kyle didn't show up to his hearing, which is is correct. He did not show up to his hearing, but his lawyer was present, his public defender or whoever it was, and the judge allowed it to be delayed so Kyle could assemble a legal team. And we talked about the legal team last week. And some of like the background of the lawyer that will be representing Kyle. But a Christian charity has raised almost $400,000 for Kyle's defense.
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of hashtags, memes of free Kyle Rittenhouse. And they, the right has been chastising Anthony Huber, Joseph Rosenbaum of just like their crimes. And my argument's always been like, Kyle, there's no way Kyle knew what Joseph, even if the allegations that the right has pushed on to Rosenbaum, there's no way Kyle Rittenhouse knew that. And there's no way that Joseph Rosenbaum knew anything about Kyle Rittenhouse other than he had an AR-15. So what's happening is the right has basically smeared the people that got shot.
As expected, to
dehumanize them, to justify why Kyle Rittenhouse shot them. And this is these are the things is I don't like whataboutism. I really don't. But at this point, I feel that it is fair that we talk about Kyle Rittenhouse because he's not the little heavenly saint that had an AR-15 and defended businesses and shot a bunch of commies that day. Kyle Rittenhouse has his own issues, and I'm going to talk about them. And the first one is a video surfaced of Kyle Rittenhouse as a teenager hitting people in high school. There's a video of him hitting a person his age, a female, in the back of the head and just assaulting them with other people. And there's two videos. There's one of him, the fight happening, and there's one of him continuing until people intervene and basically grab him off and throw him to the ground. Next is a Vice article came out about Kyle, and this is what the Vice article said. Kyle Rittenhouse loved cops, guns, President Trump, and triggering the libs, according to some of his former classmates at Lakes Community High School in Lake County, Illinois. His clothes were often branded with pro-police slogans, and he carried a Blue Lives Matter phone case, one student said. Some classmates of his joked that he would be a mass shooter one day. I personally believe he went to Wisconsin with the intent to kill, said one former classmate who asked not to be identified out of fear for their safety. Rittenhouse was also known as a ride or die Trump supporter. If you said anything bad about Trump, he'd threaten you, Joe said. In January, Rittenhouse even traveled to Iowa, where he had front row seats at a Trump rally, BuzzFeed reported. Kyle was the type of kid to wear a MAGA hat or other apparel just for attention or to trigger people. And then there was other classmates that said that they always felt like he was going to be a school shooter one day. That's got to be terrifying to be a kid, and you know that this kid has guns. And you're like, he might come here one day and shoot up the place.
Yeah, just like the fact that mass shootings and school shootings, like just the thought of it, have become so normalized is just, it's sad. It's really sad. I mean, I remember in high school when Columbine happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, everyone was scared, but it was just like, we at least kind of had the comfort that it was like a freak incident. Mm-hmm. This was not a normal thing. Well, I mean, mass shootings have been on the rise for the last couple years. Right-wing political violence has been on the rise ever since Trump was elected. Yeah. There are multiple sources to confirm corroborate this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just at this point, this youngest generation going through the schooling system is just like used to the idea that, well, one day I might get shot and maybe one of my classmates is going to be the one who does it.
No,
that's terrible. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of Kyle's rap sheet too. He has two charges of like 2 years apart of failure to obey a traffic officer. He also has a misdemeanor possession of THC, charges dismissed, but he also had drug paraphernalia on him as well. And then he had another one of getting caught with possession of drugs. But it was once again dismissed. He also had operating a firearm while intoxicated. This was 4 years ago. He was 17 years old when he did this crime, went to Wisconsin. This was 4 years ago. He was 13 or 14, and he was operating a firearm while intoxicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go for it. No.
He also had a disorderly conduct charge that he pled no contest to.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it kind of makes you wonder where the fuck the parents are.
Yeah.
You know, what exactly is going on? Are they even like present? Are they just so MAGA induced that they just think that handing a teenager some beer and a pistol or a rifle and just go have fun, kid, like that's mm-hmm. a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, you know,
yeah,
the fuck's going on in that house?
Yeah, the fact that they painted this dude in like saintly hood since he did this and just completely mm-hmm. brush off just the dumbass shit he's done as a teenager, and you know. That's what bothers me is like they completely condone the death of, you know, Joseph Rosenbaum because he was a pedophile, Anthony Huber because he beat women. The other guy had a gun and he was a felon. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse shouldn't have had that gun either because, one, he's 17 years old. He should not be able to own a rifle. Second, why is anybody giving guns to a guy that is disorderly, has disorderly conduct, and operated a firearm intoxicated when he was 13 or 14?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another thing that, like, really, this is the first thing that came to mind when I was, like, learning about this guy is, this is one of the products that, and I'm not saying, I don't know if this is actually applicable to him. I don't know if it's like a broken home or if it's like he fell down the alt-right pipeline or something, but this is kind of the direct result of fascist radicalization online.
Mm-hmm.
It is designed, well, because hold on. I gotta like condense my thoughts. So memberships in traditional hate groups and white supremacist groups has gone down for the past like 10 years, but the activities by them has not really gone down. And in fact, it's increased, and especially increased since Trump took office. Wonder if there's a coincidence there, but we kind of talked about it last time, but the right just owns the narrative. And the far right also owns the narrative on a lot of online spaces. And it's just really easy for young, impressionable kids who don't have any guidance in life to get lost down this radicalization towards fascism. And what happens is they get so isolated from everyone around them. They become so lonely and angry and hurt. They just lash out. And the only thing they know how to do is how to hate and how to hurt other people. And you do that to someone long enough, they're gonna snap. They're gonna get fucked. And it produces these lone wolves. There's, you know, as we call them, the lone wolf shooter. Or that's how, yeah, anyways. This is just one of the things that happens with online spaces and just like not giving our youth like proper guidance of how to deal with this shit, how to properly like not just use but to interpret everything you see on the internet. And I mean, who knows, maybe he got inducted into a, you know, local white supremacy group. That could be very, very well be a thing, but it's much easier and much more likely that this was at least in some part a product of online radicalization by the far right. So that's just one thing. That's just like what came to mind. I don't know. Like, I've taken a particular interest in studying the far right and fascism and the alt-right pipeline and all this stuff. Like, I've for like 2 years, 2.5 years, it is very interesting. It's very depressing, but it's very interesting how it happens and the mechanisms involved. And then, not to mention, I do this for a job, not like fascist shit, but I work with the right-wing news sites, so I'm very familiar with how blurry the line gets between conservatism and fucking fascism. It's really not that thin. It's very thin. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Anyways, I'm kind of rambling at this point.
Let's get on to Q stuff then.
Yeah, I just I don't. This Rittenhouse shit is fucking.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
Yeah. So finish off the show with some goofy QAnon stuff. I've been kind of casually scrolling through Twitter, trying to find something, but a lot of it's just kind of boring. I took a break from Q Twitter for a little bit because it's just, apparently there's some kind of like Project Odin coming out soon. I don't know what the...
I noticed that on Ron Watkins, the son of Jim Watkins, Twitter. Oh, something about Project Odin. I don't know enough about it either.
Oh, yeah. Is it Ron? 8Cun Admin?
Yeah. Ron Watkins, yeah. He is the son of John Watkins, the person that is allegedly Q.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so Project Odin's coming out, whatever the fuck that is. We'll see what... anyways, kind of...
I find the thing about Odin and stuff like that is, like, there's a lot of white supremacists that, you know, go by Odinist.
Really? Well, they have been trying to co-opt like Norse mythology.
They've been co-opting it for
roots and shit.
Yeah, ancestral roots and stuff. And it's, I could go on a rant about that, but I think that the Project Odin is very much another dog whistle for those that are aware that, you know, there are people that refer to themselves as Odinists and they are white supremacists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good little old dog whistle. So, there's apparently someone who says they're not getting a vaccine for 6%, which is funny. Not funny, but you know.
Yeah.
it's amusing.
And then, this is the thing, is like, I thought... Well, I was never optimistic, but you would think that the anti-vaxxers would have been depowered by, you know, the amount of science that's come out since COVID, but they are more emboldened than ever. And the problem with that is that when people don't get vaccines. There's people out there that legitimately cannot get them because it will harm them. They're immunocompromised, so they can't have that injected into them, and they still have to go on society. And it's just incredible. That's the thing of just like anti-vaxxers basically say, I believe these crazy quack theories and I don't believe science, so I'm going to be selfish.
Mm-hmm. It's like not the science I want to believe in, so it's fake news.
Mm-hmm.
It is very selfish. But apparently not being selfish is protecting their right to do to be a dick, basically, and do whatever they want with no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're so entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really seeing anything else, so... but there was another kind of big thing with Q. Trump gave them a really big dog whistle on Fox News with an interview with Laura Ingraham. It's a clip where he basically said that Joe Biden is being controlled by people from the shadows, and these people apparently also control the streets. And somehow he tried to insinuate that Antifa apparently flew on like a plane
mm-hmm.
from a specific city. He wouldn't name the city to, you know, go to protests and whatever. So Antifa has like private jets now. I mean, that's sick.
Yeah.
If I knew that, I would have signed up a long time ago.
Yeah.
And apparently this prompted Rand Paul to subpoena Antifa for plane, hotel, travel, funding records, all that good stuff. And
it's so ridiculous.
You have fun with that. Good luck finding this.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I mean, you know, that's already out of the bag, but Antifa isn't an organization that exists, people. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Everybody knows it doesn't exist. Even the Republicans know it doesn't exist. It's just a way to dehumanize people even further.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing is they are always going to look for some new label to put onto people. And right now they're like, oh, leftists or communists. And Democrats are just like, oh, you need to, the far left people need to calm it down with this, like getting guns and stuff. And I'm just like, the thing is conservatives don't really see the difference between somebody that's a communist from somebody that is your stereotypical liberal that watches MSNBC. They think they're the same thing.
Yeah, unironically, they do.
Yeah. And that's what I try to tell people about that. On another thing, like with Trump people, they will believe anything. They believe that Joe Biden is being controlled by Bernie Sanders. I was talking to a good friend of mine that is a Trump supporter. Yeah, I have some friends that are conservative. Very few and far between. But we were talking, and they were saying that Bernie Sanders basically controls the Democratic Party. I was just like, I fucking wish, because maybe we would get Medicare for all, and maybe we would get a Green New Deal, and maybe we wouldn't be in all these different fucking wars that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't be chest thumping towards China or Russia to get us into another war. And the argument that this person made was like, this is just like, this is going to lead into why I don't believe these moderate Republicans are going to vote for Joe Biden even before the civil unrest happened. They told me that they're like, well, I really don't like Trump. After we talked about how that Joe Biden is not a radical leftist at all. But they were like, I don't really like Trump. And then I asked them, I was like, what do you not like about Trump? And they paused. And I was just like, no, seriously, what do you not like about Trump? And they were like, I'm lying. I actually love Trump. That's what they said. And that is why I don't believe this Lincoln Project, this strategy of chasing moderate Republican voters is going to pay off in November. Because when you get down to fucking brass tacks, there are so many people that, you know, they may not be wearing those MAGA hats. They may not be wearing the Blue Lives Matter shirts. They may not be talking about don't tread on me, but they still like Trump. There are the silent Trump voters. They exist. Yeah. And I don't buy the strategy of Democrats winning the election with moderate Republicans, because even the ones that, you know, say they don't like Trump, they do. They do.
Yep. This reminds me of the silent majority rhetoric that came out a couple weeks ago from the Republicans. Now, are they silent? Yeah. Are they a majority? No.
No, but they're not.
They are enough of an influence to potentially swing elections. The thing is, yeah, they
vote hard.
Right.
And they swing right. They swing super right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's even if they're just like, they only care about something like the Second Amendment, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Or abortion.
Or abortion. Well, yeah. I mean, the abortion, that's, if they really care about abortion as like one of their, if that's like their single or dual voting issue, then they're voting Republican no matter what.
Yeah, they're voting. Yeah.
But let's just say like someone like as a single issue voter on the Second Amendment. And it's like, well, they're always going to vote Republican. But the thing is, like, Trump has done so much to their gun rights.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably make the case that Obama was did more for promoting gun rights than Trump has done. Trump has taken away gun rights as far as bans and shit go. So it's kind of like, well, what do you do? Do you pick Biden, who is basically a Republican, a moderate Republican for all intents and purposes, who's maybe he'll put in like a, you know, program to buy back guns or something, but like through all the bureaucracy, that's not going to happen immediately. And it's probably likely that they won't finish doing the paperwork until Biden like leaves office in four years.
Yeah, exactly. And that is counting on Biden even getting into the office.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's just assuming that.
Assuming that he gets in office. And I don't know. I feel like they're both just racing to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who's going to win. And unfortunately, we're all tagged along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks.
It does suck. This is a ride I want to get off of, but there's no eject button.
Yeah, no, it sucks. All right, you got anything?
Oh man, I do not have anything other than our closing statements, which I will fumble. But definitely check us out on Twitter. Check us out on all of the big podcast platforms.
Mm-hmm.
On Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, everything.
Google Podcast. All the big ones were on there. And if you go to those, subscribe to them. Give us some hearts. Give us some stars, whatever it takes. Good reviews helps people find the show. And tell your friends. Share. It helps us out.
It does. It helps us out a lot. And other than that, thank you for listening and have a good one.